Hello, family. Hello.
Great to
see you, Onika.
I love you.
And great to, I guess we're not really seeing you.
No, one of these, at some point in the future, we will video these because people love the video. The children love the books.
Yeah, that's
right. That is quoting Elf. Yeah, but for now, we'll just keep this audio going.
Who loves video?
Well, if you just, you know, people that love podcasts, they love video.
Well, I think you're beautiful. So if I were listening to you, I'd want the video.
Okay, I love the pauses in your voice.
Well, it kind of adds dramatic.
It does effect.
Effect.
I like it.
Yeah, there you go.
And I like you.
Do you know when to use effect or effect?
No, I don't. And there's a couple other words like that that I mess up on.
And tomato.
Right. Yeah, there's a couple. You're silly.
That was good. That was funny. Okay.
Let's just jump right in.
We're already in it, honey.
I know. We're going to talk about dating. Hot topic alert. Hot topic alert.
You think so? You want to talk about dating?
I think we should.
Dating in marriage or dating when you're single?
I think dating when you're single.
Let's do dating in marriage for a quick second.
How to date, when to date, when not to date.
Dating in marriage for a quick second is you and I are not consistent with our date nights.
No, I agree.
But we have a good marriage.
We do. We have a really strong marriage.
So we want to be better.
Yes, we do.
Because we feel like that, you know, specific time is good.
I think this is my philosophy. But, can I give you my philosophy? Do you care?
No, this is why I'm talking about it. Because I feel like a lot of people carry some weight and burden.
Or
because
guilt.
Because they don't. Well, yeah, maybe guilt.
Yeah. And it becomes, here's my big thing in life. I call it function and feel. And I think people default to function more than leaning on feel. So you can have the function of, oh, yeah, we go on a date night first Friday of every month. It's like clockwork. But the feel of your marriage is not one of unity, healthy communication, healthy physically. Your home is not that peaceful.
You mean physically, like working
sexually,
out? You mean sex.
Sexually, okay. Yes. So I
hey,
feel
honey,
that,
just say the word, baby. Just say the word.
But I say all that to say that I think
I like
that
how
people,
you just keep on
I just
going.
Keep moving on. So you can have the function of, oh, it's on our calendar, but the feel that your marriage doesn't have all the feels that it should have.
Nah, that's really
so
good.
I think people like to make laws sometimes and then forget about the feel. So I do feel like
you're having a date night actually so that you can
check the box.
But the purpose behind a date night is specific time with your spouse, you know, removing distractions. Onika's kind of trying to get comfortable in her chair right now.
Yeah.
You're grabbing that microphone a whole bunch. I don't know what that's going to sound like on the recording
it's fine,
later.
Babe.
You're like, I just was hitting my face on the microphone, too. Did you hear that?
Last time it was my coffee and my ice.
It was?
Remember? Yeah, I was like my ice drink and you're making fun of me.
No, I loved your ice drink. Your new ice drink, by the way, too. That's a great one.
Yeah. Dating.
But I want to go back to this. This is really, really important
okay.
to talk about the
dating and marriage. So I do think you should go on dates and marriage and you should
but
not forget
about your
spouse.
But it's the function piece. It's the function of you and I or a couple saying, I did it. I checked the box.
Right.
It's done.
Exactly.
But they don't have the reason for the date night is so that you can be growing and developing
and
getting connection in your marriage. So if you have the date night but you don't have the connection, you want to figure out what you can do to make sure you have the connection.
Yes.
Not just the date night.
Exactly.
It's the purpose behind the thing, not the thing
itself.
It's
like focusing on the wedding instead of preparing for the marriage.
Yep.
And the wedding's beautiful. Date nights are beautiful. I love a good date night. Don't get me wrong. My favorite, I'm not the most like, this is when our date night is, but I love when we go away together. That's my favorite thing.
That
charges me and gives me all the energy, all the connection time. I love it.
Yeah.
But I also love going on dates with you.
No.
But I also love being in the kitchen together. I just love time with you, going to the gym together.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. I love the gym times. Those are great. Love working out together. I love pillow talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a great thing. It is times away, for sure. Those are the best because especially when you have kids, there's a lot of interruptions that happen.
Yep.
So going on dates can kind of help with those interruptions, but you also have on your brain the kids that are at home with the babysitter, and depending on their age and what's going on, and you got this, you got that. You're going to have a lot of things kind of rolling through your head, and it can be hard to unplug the way you want to unplug.
Right.
Well, again, not making any excuses. You got to fight for it, but it does feel a little bit like, okay, we did it, you know? Right. It's like, okay, well, at least we did it.
Exactly.
But we're really looking for the connection. We're looking for the intimacy. Yeah. We're looking for our hearts to be able to be open. We're looking for you and I to be able to talk about things that we maybe didn't get a chance to talk about because we were running around so much. So that's a little bit of the dating in marriage.
Don't forget to date your spouse, but have function and feel. Moral of the story.
Yes. But now we also want to talk about dating in singleness.
Okay.
Dating when you are single. We had a singles night.
We did at our church.
Not too long ago. And we're going to have them all the time.
Pretty much like probably once a quarter. At least once a quarter, twice a year.
I thought twice a week.
Okay. Yeah. Monday, Wednesday, singles night. Be there.
It was so much fun. Pandemonium in the best way possible. People from all over the city. And
people in high heels, people in sweats, people with makeup on, people with no makeup on.
Yep.
A good amount of guys, too. You did a great job of rallying the men. Like, I feel like the men showed up.
I think the men definitely showed up. Yeah. And now we're in the middle of, you know, that Thursday morning Bible study that we have. There's also, you know, plenty of other Lyman Connect groups. But I am on a mission to make sure all the single women in our church are like, oh my goodness, look at all the godly men that are here.
Just fruit, just falling from the trees.
They're like, oh my goodness.
They're like, I have my pick.
Look at that apple.
Yep.
Look at that blackberry. Look at that orange?
I don't know.
Orange doesn't feel as sexy.
Right.
But an orange is going to be sexy to somebody.
Exactly.
You know, so you're just looking at different, what other fruit would you consider to be like, never mind. Let's not go down that road.
Yeah, we won't go into fruit.
I think this can go
a bunch of different ways. Strawberries. Yeah, you can't mess up with strawberries.
This can go the wrong way.
Dating, single life, Christian relationships, hearing from God, boyfriend, girlfriend, check the box, yes, no, swipe, Tinder, DMs. Where do you want to go?
Well, I think I want to go to, there's the way that the world does it and the way that I think God would want us to do things. And the difficulty in our culture is the world's way seems to kind of win, you know, kind of get the final word.
Yeah.
And the flow right now is what? What would you consider the flow to be in the current culture, the current climate we live in?
I don't feel like Christian dating relationships are that much different from non-Christian dating relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a problem. But I also think most Christians don't know how to date.
Yep, for
in
sure.
a way that honors God and honors the person
Agreed.
That they're dating.
That is fascinating that we would not be able to look at, and this is not for every dating couple because there's some out there that are totally crushing it. And you had a great mentor. You had somebody talk to you about something. And they gave you some direction.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get anybody to teach you anything, all you know to do is what you know to do.
Exactly.
So you just
you're
go
not
ahead
a bad
and do
person.
That.
Yeah. You're
and you're like,
doing
well,
what you know to do, like you said.
I've got to find somebody. What I do is I dress up. What I do is I put my best foot forward.
Yeah.
What I do is I send my agent, you know, I send the one that I think they want to know.
Yeah.
And I'll put that facade on.
Mm-hmm.
Or I lie.
Right. Yeah.
I don't share all my scars.
Yeah.
And not to say you should share everything, obviously, right from the jump, but you just kind of go, man, I'm going to take what I did as a teenager or as a college student or in my 20s or 30s, and I'm just going to do that as a Christian, but I don't know what will actually look different, you know, as things start off. So what should look different?
Right. And I do feel like people want to, at least most of the guys and girls that I interact with, they want to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They want to date a healthy way, but they actually don't know how to. And they set out with the right intention, but then you get the like mushy eyes, and then you throw out common sense, you throw out inviting a mentor in, and you just end up doing it the way that feels right. And
I never read that book, A Kiss Dating Goodbye. Did you ever read that book? I don't know.
But
some a long time ago, yeah. Right? But it did have a pretty profound impact on Christian dating culture years and years ago. I don't know that it still does, and I'm not recommending, you know,
yeah,
that
we
book.
Haven't read it, so yeah. I don't feel like we can
no, I'm definitely speak not, to it. Yeah. Actually not recommending it because all I kind of feel is the kind of the unique, and I don't want to blame it on that book, but just maybe how some interpreted that book years and years ago, is that, you know, Christians didn't feel like they could go on dates.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, and I'm not saying it's from that book. I've never read it. But why would you not go out? You
right,
know,
right, right.
There was a day, Mary was probably in her teens mm-hmm. when she gave birth to Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? The disciples were probably teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
There was a day and age that people did not live to 80-something years old. You know, they were a lot
living
younger,
forever.
You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
back in the day.
Yeah.
So now you've got like 32-year-old single men and women.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're like, don't have sex.
Right.
I'm 32 years old,
exactly.
right? And I'm not supposed to do this thing. And of course, we talked about that other podcast where we want to honor God, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But with that being the case, we're asking people to hold off, and not that it's all about sex at all. I'm just
right.
saying, trying to talk to today's language.
Yeah.
People are like, that's not realistic.
Yes. Yeah.
So let me just go ahead and I'm going to change some of what scripture would say.
Yeah.
I want to conform it to what works for me,
right.
but not what the Bible would say.
Right.
But I get that tension because you're like, did the Bible mean when I was 32 years old that I was not going to be, you know, intimate with anyone?
Till I got married?
Yep.
Right. Exactly.
It did mean that. Now, with that being said, how can we go about doing things in a way that are going to honor God,
right.
put him first, make him number one?
Well, I feel like it's not even about should you sleep together, should you not sleep together. I think that's part of the hang-up that people have or part of the things that people do wrong. I feel like the struggle is how to be a healthy person. Because I feel like if people were healthy going into dating relationships and going into friendships, we'd have more success mm-hmm. in dating relationships and friendships.
How healthy do you have to be?
Well, this is what I think it all boils down to, which is where, you know, the Bible talks about your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like more people are like, am I ready to date? I want to date. Where's my husband? Where's my wife? But I feel like there's some back work, some groundwork that helps you get ready to be healthy once you go on a date, start dating someone, get into mm-hmm. a relationship.
Like, how do you feel about your identity?
Yeah.
How secure are you in who you are in Jesus? Because if you're not that secure, dating can actually really negatively impact
exactly.
how you
That's
see yourself.
Yeah.
And if you don't see yourself properly,
yeah.
you actually could allow another person who's not supposed to, who should not have this much
who
influence in your life,
your self-worth.
Who can just take you off course, make you second guess yourself.
Everything.
And now 7 years later, you still can't be in a relationship with someone because of what some guy or some girl said that you only went on 2 dates with.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
so I feel like, how do you know if you should date? How do you know if you're ready to date? How do you know if you can handle dating if it doesn't turn out the way that you want or the story that you had written about that person, and then you find out there's someone completely different? How do you survive that? Boils down to a couple things. I think knowing who you are in Christ,
mm-hmm.
having trusted people in your life that can come to you to say you're not yourself, you're not a better version of yourself. And then the third thing, well, there's more than three, but
okay.
the third thing that's coming to my mind is dying to self. If you know how to die to self in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
in a healthy way, this is in the context of honoring one another, not in an abusive situation.
Well, we can dig into all three of these. You're saying the first one is who you are in Christ, which is identity.
Yeah.
You're saying basically wise counsel, you know,
yes.
smart people around you,
yeah,
godly
yeah, yeah.
people
mm-hmm.
around you that can give you really good insight.
Yes.
And then the third thing you're saying is an
dying
ability
to
die to self.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't think that one kind of goes with the first one, but I see on the intentional side, it's like, are you willing to not do what you want to do?
Exactly.
And are you willing to do what you don't want to do.
Dying to self in dating, what does that look like? It looks like once you fall in love, once you start to really like each other and feel all the feels, dying to self means I'm not going to sleep with you, even though my flesh, my body, my desires, my passions are saying, mm-hmm. I want to sleep with you. That's mm-hmm. dying to self. Mm-hmm. Dying to self.
Well, even anger. Let's go to anger. Yeah, that's, exactly. That's a big one for
yeah,
people.
Exactly.
Both men and women.
It's
that,
not
that can
saying
deal
what
with.
You think. Like not saying exactly. hurtful, cutting words that tear down people.
Like I'm just like this. This is just what I do.
Or
this
you're
is
just
how
like your
raised.
Mom, or you're just like your dad.
Oh boy.
Or you know, like mm-hmm. those people are, can be cutting with their words. Mm-hmm. So like, if you don't know how to tame your tongue, and you don't know how to have self-control with like your language, I think that's another indicator that it might not be the best your dating era.
No, I
because
I
you
practical.
Can like blow up somebody's life by your language. If
yes.
they allow you to.
Yeah, you're right. And it'll be unintentional and you want to apologize.
Exactly.
And none of us make mistakes.
And then, but in today's culture, it's like, well, I didn't mean to say that. And that was not my intention of my heart. You just heard it that way. Or I just had a lot of feel. It was my, it's how I was raised. And in my family, we talk down to each other. So that's why I talk down to you. So Zach, can I be that real?
That's
instead
crazy.
Of just owning, I shouldn't have said that to you. It was very hurtful and harmful. Done.
I think I want to dig into these three things, and I think they're good.
Yeah.
The first one, to say who I am in Christ.
Yeah.
So how do you learn that?
Yeah.
You know, you learn that. It's not just by yourself in some cave somewhere
exactly.
reading
yeah.
scripture.
Healthy
That's
community.
Part of it, you know?
It's healthy community.
You got to be in a great church. You got to be listening to the right things.
And the right voices.
And I don't know. I'm hoping this will be a right voice. I'm hoping, you know, this podcast is a right voice. We're trying to remind people who you are in Christ. Who once you gave your life to Jesus, mm-hmm. what does that mean
Blood
for you?
Bought.
Yeah, you're brand
redeemed,
new.
Redeemed. Right. Righteous.
Okay, there you go. All those are great words. Those are great biblical truths
mm-hmm.
right there.
Yeah. Son or a daughter.
So knowing where those things are, what does it mean to be adopted by God?
Exactly.
What does it mean?
Saved by grace.
That I'm, saved by grace. What does it mean? That I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I no longer live, you know?
Yeah, but Christ lives in
me. Exactly.
What does it mean that, you know, he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it?
Yep.
Until the day of Christ Jesus. What does it mean in Ephesians 3? You can even read the prayers of Paul. Just Google that. The prayers of Paul in Ephesians, Colossians. I think there's another one in Philippians. But there's multiple prayers. Of the Apostle Paul, and one of them talks about how we are God's glorious inheritance. That's pretty a powerful thought. What does it mean that we are God's
his
inheritance?
Workmanship. Yeah.
What does that mean that we're his workmanship? Again, Ephesians. Yep. All these different verses here, and you might be hearing these going, wait, this is in the Bible? This is in the Bible? This is in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And it's important that this stuff gets branded on our hearts, not just on our minds. It begins to shape who we are.
And not just reciting it, but
agreed.
Knowing how to live it.
Well, it's the function and feel, like you
exactly.
talked about earlier.
Yeah.
We talked about earlier with the dating. It's like,
yes.
I've got the function of
checking the box.
Yeah, and
I memorized all my scriptures.
And
if you don't apply them. So I feel like memorization of scripture is function, but feel is applying it to your life and to the lives of others.
And beginning to believe it, attaching
exactly.
faith to it. And some things can be harder to believe, for
mm-hmm.
sure. I actually love to memorize scripture.
It's
you know,
awesome.
So it's something that I think is a good challenge,
pushes
me forward,
renews
my mind, keeps me sharp. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made.
Go.
Without him nothing was made that has been made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. You know, so I've been trying to memorize, you know, John chapter 1. And so I like memorizing scripture.
With
it's
you.
Great. But I also like not just memorizing, but marinating.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't just get it down really quick.
Yeah.
Now I want to let it marinate. I want it to seep into my pores,
mm-hmm.
the pores of my soul, so that it comes out in my interactions with you,
totally.
With my
it's
kids,
the same
with my
way
friends.
If someone says they love you, but they say it not, but they don't show you that
mm-hmm.
they love you, it's the same thing. It's a function of, I said I love you. mm-hmm. but you're not showing me you love me. So that's function and feel. But like we're saying, like knowing you, who you are in Christ, knowing your identity, someone can't talk you out of who you are. If the relationship doesn't go the way you planned or you end up breaking up, your life is not over. Yep. You don't feel worthless. You don't feel busted up on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you know who you are in Christ, if the relationship goes great or it like becomes a dumpster fire, on the other end of it, after you've cried your tears, you know that you're going to be okay. And you have a hope that cannot be diminished by what someone does in a relationship towards you.
There's a lot of, if we're a bucket, a lot of us have all these emotional holes everywhere.
Yeah.
And somebody tries to pour love in, kindness in, and we leak it out.
Exactly.
Got all these holes leaking out.
Or we don't believe
it. It could be a dad
them.
Issue. Yeah. It could be a mom issue. It could be a friend issue. It could be a trust issue, whatever.
Yeah.
So we end up kind of we can even be in a great place, but we're leaking all over the place.
Or we hear great things and have had life spoken
and
over
and we're like,
us.
Wait, I go to church. Mm-hmm. Wait, I read my Bible. Yep. And you go, man, you have not allowed God's grace to plug the holes in you that need to be plugged. And you're unintentionally bleeding or leaking all over the place. So this is where it is powerful to have a great father and a great mother that speak life over you, grandparents that speak life over you from a young age.
Yeah, mentors in church.
But the devil does a work on all of us to make sure we don't come out of our youth without some holes.
Yep, exactly.
Most of us have something. We've got bludgeoned somewhere, hit somewhere. Somebody that really was supposed to be there for us did not.
Exactly.
Was not there for us. They disappointed us in a significant way. Yeah. And it's like that hole, if we don't allow the grace of God to minister and to get into that thing, you carry that into your relationship. Yeah. And here's the truth. To continue to use this bucket analogy or word picture, if the bucket is 10 inches deep and your hole is at 6 inches, you'll never be full to 10 inches.
Exactly. No matter what anyone says.
It does not matter because your hole is there at 6 and you're going to be leaking at 6. It can get to 6, but it can't get to 10.
Exactly.
And what sometimes happens when we can date prematurely is we got holes at level 1.
Yep.
We haven't yet figured out
exactly
who am I in Christ.
Exactly,
am I? I'm holy. I'm whole in Jesus. Like nobody else completes me because Christ completed me. And I'm not just trying to do church speak here because this is for married people. This is for all of us.
Yeah.
And it just will help us. It will help us in our relationships. Yep. The healthier and the more whole we are, the more we understand who God has made us to be. Yeah. And I don't think you ever just get there either.
No.
So as we're talking
it's
about
journey,
this,
though.
It's a total life journey. But I do think God can plug some holes that need to be plugged so that we can go, all right, I can move on. I recognize that hole is there. I recognize that it's been patched up.
Yeah.
I recognize that that wound could be reopened.
Exactly.
It could be.
Yeah.
But I've dealt with it. I dealt with that demon.
Am I healed? Because I thought about
I talked to it.
When you came into my life. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was healed at that time. Like I was healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to enter a dating relationship and be healthy emotionally and spiritually and not like, you know, put all my past hurt and pain on you.
Yeah.
I feel like for the most part.
For sure.
Like for the most part, I feel like I was at a healthy place. And then the things that I needed to like work on, none of them were like game changers that discounted.
Because you always have something that has to be worked on. We're trying to figure out, and this is where each person has to know themselves.
Exactly.
Hear from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Be reading scripture, allowing the Word of God to talk to them. Have great mentors to go, hey, can you help me? Is this thing that I'm dealing with?
Yeah.
Gonna like really mess up
exactly
the potential relationship that I want to get in.
Or you know that I'm, because like you said earlier, when people have their agents, which is another way of saying like you don't meet the real them till later.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the thing that messes up dating relationships when they get serious and newlywed relationships is all the hidden secrets
for sure.
If you have secrets, like a lot of secrets, I feel like that's not your dating era. Mm-hmm. Until those secrets are out in the open with a trusted mentor friend or counselor or therapist who can walk you through how to get healing from your secrets. Because they only get worse when you surprise your spouse 3 months into your marriage, a year into your marriage, that you have this whole separate life.
That's a practical hole, though, that you're talking about here. Yeah. Secrets. Mm-hmm. If you've got a whole bunch of them, that's level one.
Yeah.
I would encourage you, take some steps back. Yeah. Let's not start dating right now.
It's not fair to the person because then they feel so blindsided.
You're going to find somebody you love and somebody that really loves you.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, well, you actually didn't really meet me. Exactly. You met a fake version of me.
Or it's like, if I knew this going into this relationship, we could have gotten counseling together. Mm. I could have watched you on your healing journey instead of now me having trust issues with you in our marriage because you didn't tell me from the very beginning, which then makes the spouse think, well, what else are you hiding from
me? Exactly.
And so why not come clean from the beginning and get wise counsel so that you can get set free so you don't have to always hide things? Because the reason why we hide things is because we're afraid about what the person's going to think or the devil lies to us and drapes us in shame. And so we're like paralyzed and we feel like there's a muzzle over our mouth.
Yeah.
But really, Christ came to set us free. And someone who really loves you is going to work through it with you, or they're going to wait for you, or realize that you guys aren't right for each other. But long way of saying, if you're single and you have a lot of secrets, that's your indicator, that's your check engine light that it might not be the best time for me to date.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't be secretive.
If you're married and you have the secrets, get them out.
Get them out. Yep. Get them free.
Get them out. Share them. It feels terrible.
Yep.
It feels so difficult. It feels like my marriage is going to end, but you're killing yourself softly anyway.
It's just never a good idea.
Oh my gosh, no. You're as sick as your secrets.
Exactly.
Just to get it out in a healthy, humble, kind, broken way. Yep. I did want to say something real quick about guilt because I heard this the other day. Jen sent this, but I thought it was really good. And I think I've heard something similar before, but guilt is, I did something bad, which actually can be a great little indicator. Yep. Like, oh, wow. It kind of gives you a little push.
Yes.
Smack upside the head.
Yeah.
I feel guilty. I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Shame is something different.
Yeah.
Shame is I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I can't be healed. I can't be mended. Yeah. I can't be put back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of us are feeling guilty about something right now. We go, oh, well, I feel guilt, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. And I go, well, actually, the guilt is your indicator that you're keeping something that needs to be shared.
Exactly.
So don't just push the guilt away. Don't go into shame saying, oh, I'm wrong and I'm just the worst. I can't ever get healed. No. But the guilt actually is, many times, the Holy Spirit going,
conviction.
You know you did this wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not right.
Exactly.
You're hiding something right now. Get this out in the open. So if you're feeling guilty, we're not wanting you to be cloaked with shame.
Right.
But we do want the Holy Spirit to reveal the things that need to be revealed so you can go, you know what? I want the healthy relationship in the future. That's what I want. I actually want to be able to have kids one day and me not be emotionally leaking on them.
Yeah.
I actually want a healthy home. I actually want there to be joy in my house. I actually don't want to end up, you know, whether it's divorced or separated or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't want that because nobody gets married wanting that.
Exactly.
But if we don't learn how to deal with our stuff and be healthy, who are we in Christ? You end up in a spot you really don't want to be in.
And I feel like we're reverse engineering dating because I feel like once you go out on that first date, it's easier to focus on, okay, what should I wear? Where should we go? What should we talk about? Mm-hmm. What should our next date be? It's harder to ask, is my soul ready? Mm-hmm. Am I in a healthy place?
Mm-hmm.
Reverse engineering, I think it's healthy and I think this is going to help people.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree that if you can reverse engineer and it's easier, like you said, to focus on, okay, here are my pictures.
Yeah.
Okay, is this shirt too tight? Okay. Yeah. Am I showing too much? You know, am I, what about these pants? You know, what about these shoes?
So
what about
this? I'm trying too hard.
Yeah,
but
am I trying too hard?
But I wonder if we ask these questions first of, do I have secrets? Do I know who I'm in Christ? Is my heart healthy? Am I ready?
Have I talked to some trusted mentors in my life that are like, yeah,
you're ready. Go. You're healthy. Go, you're healed.
Yeah, you're in a good spot
exactly.
right now. You're
not
in a good
perfect.
Spot.
Not every box checked. You know, not you don't have to have it all together.
No.
But being healed and healthy, stepping into a dating relationship, it's a game changer.
It really, really is. So whether you're 44 mm-hmm. or 24, obviously there's different things that are going on in a person's life at those different stages of life. With that being said, you can be healthy
exactly.
at both of those stages.
Exactly.
You can get healthy. That's why at 19, 20, 21,
yeah, 22.
You can get healthy. You can be strong there. Yeah. We don't have to go through all the mess and junk.
Exactly.
God can do a work in our hearts.
Yeah.
There can be emotional, physical healing for sure, a spiritual healing that comes through Jesus. We can get healthy in all of these ways. I don't want to paint some picture, kind of stick our head in the sand, because I'm thinking people would have some real questions. But with the real questions, we're not faking like you have to have it all together
exactly.
to get started. I think God's grace covers.
Yeah.
It's continued to cover.
Yep.
We're just looking at it now going, how's the dating scene working for us? Like how we're doing it right now,
it's not really working.
Is this the way it should be?
Yep.
Because it's seeming kind of sus.
And I think this step one, you know, part of a, you know, I feel like we could have this conversation for a really long time. But I do feel like if people did this, even once they got married, if they weren't used to keeping secrets, that would help trust with their spouse.
Hands down.
Once they got married, if they had other people in their life that they could run things by, how do I say this?
Yep.
How should I bring up that I'm frustrated in my marriage? Mm-hmm. How should I bring up that my husband doesn't seem like they're putting their best foot forward? Like how do, in my family, they used to yell, but I don't want to have a yelling home. So how should I say that? How would you say that if you were me? When you have trusted people in your life, it doesn't just help before you say, am I ready to date? But it also helps once you get married because then you're not navigating life by yourself.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement.
Like
it's these are principles that are transferable for sure.
Yes, for sure.
So you've got, without a doubt, who I am in Christ.
Yes.
You got the mentors that you got to have.
Yeah.
And then you talked about, what was the last one? What did we say?
It was dying to self.
Yeah, the dying to self.
Yeah, we talked a lot about who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
We brushed on mentors.
But the dying to self is a good one. This is why I'm not saying you got to go to the gym or you got to go, you know, have some hobby that you're into, but it does help to, not hobby, maybe that'd be the wrong thing because hobbies people tend to like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just when's the last time you did something you didn't want to do?
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Do you ever do anything you don't want to do?
Yeah.
And if you're like, no. Then, I mean, you can
date. And dying to self is really a lost art. Because we live in a world and a culture is like, what feels good to you?
It's comfort.
What feels right to you?
Yep.
Do what's best for you, which of course you do need to take care of you. And nobody needs to neglect themselves. That's major key.
Yep.
So we're talking that you have that in context. But I do think learning to serve, learning that your body does not belong to you. I think that's why when you are in a dating relationship and the Bible talks about your body as a temple, that you should not have premarital sex. Because your body is a temple and it belongs to God and you're learning to surrender and die to your flesh, die to what you want to do. It's transferable in marriage. We've talked about this before. So then when you and your spouse are separated and your husband or your wife's on a business trip, you've learned to die to self while dating.
Yeah.
So then when you have that coworker or that boss who's flirty pants and you're like wondering,
flirty pants.
You have flirty pants.
Mr. Flirty Pants.
You're
Mrs. Flirty Pants.
Exactly. You've taught yourself how to like,
that's what I call Onika.
I'm like tempted right now.
Just kidding.
But I'm going to die to myself and I'm not going to go to that like mixer thing or that like everybody's going out. Because, you know, when you're traveling and you're on work trips, most people go out after they do all their work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you learn to die to self, you're like, you know what? I want to go. That looks fun. But I'm tired. And when I'm tired, my guard's down. I know myself. So I'm going to go up to my room and I'm going to FaceTime my spouse. Dying to self.
Let me say this. I'm going to say the same thing coming about it from another direction.
Say it.
What are some of your gifts?
My gifts?
Yeah. You got a lot.
Yeah, I would say hospitality.
That's a great one for sure. You set a table, make people feel seen, cared for, that attention to detail. That is one of 1 trillion gifts.
One zillion gifts that
you have. That's hands down. Why do you have that gift? Well, the Bible tells us You were given this gift by God for the body.
Yeah.
So the gifts you have don't even belong to you.
Right.
Literally, the gifts that any one of us have are not ours.
Right, right.
They were only given to us.
So my singing voice.
By God.
If I was a singer.
Do it.
Let's see. What song do you want me to sing?
Well, I mean, we got a lot of ways we could go here, for sure. Mm-hmm. You could go...
Good Father from back in the day?
No. Okay. No.
It's who you are.
No. I think we gotta probably gonna have to go with something a little bit edgier.
Yeah.
Okay, Jodeci.
I don't remember Jodeci songs.
Okay, how about you want to go with... you've got your Old Faithful.
Yeah, from Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
I do love that movie. It's a classic. It's also kind of sad and heavy. But it is a good
but
classic.
But you do rip that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
You want to slay it again?
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Not a lot, though.
No, I won't. But so there's this movie.
Like 30 seconds.
It's called Dreamgirls. Is it the story of Diana Ross? Is that what Dreamgirls, who's Dreamgirls about? It's about someone.
I think it's about, maybe it's about Diana Ross.
I don't even know. I should know that. Yep. Like, I don't even know.
Lost your black card.
I did. Don't come for me. I'm a mom of three kids. I have a lot of other things occupying the real estate of my mind.
I don't remember the
origin story.
I think you're right, though.
There was a character.
No, Dreamgirls is a story of Destiny's Child.
That's right. That's right. I don't think you're ready. Okay, so Dreamgirls, there was a character named Effie. And she had a guy that she was really, you know, Effie. She didn't apply what we're talking about in this conversation to that relationship.
You got a saying where anticipation is too much
for
me right now.
I'm setting up the story. As Parker says, let me cook.
Okay, let her cook.
So she was trying to get the attention of this guy. It was a tumultuous relationship. But she was like, you know what? No matter what, I'm by your side. Okay. And so there's a scene. And she goes, and I am telling you, said with passion, I'm not going. You're the best man I could ever know. There's no way I could. And then she gets dramatic.
Her eyes are closed right now.
No way. I'm living without you. I'm not living without you.
There's so much saliva on the microphone.
I just
want
to. I'm messing up the words free. And then she goes, I'll stay.
I think she says, I'm staying.
I'm staying. And then she says, and you, you're going to love me.
Come on, J-Hud.
There you go.
I think you're going to take it up.
I don't remember. She says something about you just say what you want.
Oh, wait, okay.
I'm not walking out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, so
that gift that Onika just shared with us.
It's my comedic singing voice.
God gave that to her, but none of the gifts are for you.
No.
So
it's for the people.
If you have gifts, I just said that I went through puberty right there. If you have gifts and you're not willing to use them, right. When God is asking you to use them, then you have not yet learned how to die to self.
Right. But also, if like, sexual desire is a gift. It's a gift that God has given us.
It's
how He's wired
us.
Come on. But it's how He's wired us. But it's not your gift to use when you want to use it when you're dating. Yeah. Let that sink in. You got to learn to surrender that gift.
Bars.
Yeah.
Some people are like, man, I am a sexual gift.
Yeah. I'm a gift. I want to share this gift.
I got to share. Matter of fact, I'm ready to serve. I'll serve right now with this gift.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no, you got to submit it to the Lord.
You're going to have to submit that one to the Lord.
Exactly.
All the gifts we have don't belong to us. But if you have not learned how to say yes to God when you want to say no, because you're uncomfortable, because of time or whatever.
Exactly.
And this is not to tell people, you know, just go burn out. We'll do another talk on burnout another time.
Yeah, that's different.
We're not talking about that. What we are saying is, do you ever do
what you don't want to do? Yeah.
And if you're not doing that, then you haven't learned what Jesus said, we take up our cross daily.
Daily. I was interviewing one of my mentors and I said, how have you done this for this long? Nobody reads anything about you in the papers. You love your husband. Mm-hmm. You love your kids. Mm-hmm. You love building the church. It was Chris Kane. I said, how are you still standing?
I love that you said the papers.
The papers.
Yeah. We don't read anything about you in the papers.
Yeah. No, literally. Or meaning, on Instagram.
Meaning online. Yeah.
That was her line. But I said, how have you like stood so tall for so long? And she said, I die to myself daily. I die to self daily.
Let it sink.
That is the key to longevity.
Come on.
And healthy marriage, parenting, leading a business. When you lead a business, I mean, don't tell me you don't know how to do what you don't want to do. Like when you're leading a business and you can't spend any money because every bit of that money needs to go into the business, you know how to do that.
Yes,
you know how to die to your flesh.
For sure.
You just haven't applied it to your body.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
Into the dating life, into other aspects of our life. I think this is really, really healthy.
So
I mean,
landing the plane.
We could dig into this for a long time. Oh, let me share these 10 things and then we'll be done here real fast.
Because you got
Let me go. Real quick. Here are the 10 things that we shared with our beautiful singles at Shoreline. See them say, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here we go. Date in a way that would make it easy to be friends if it ended. Oh, that's a good one. Make it your mission to outserve one another.
Love it.
You become intimate with who you pray to, who you pray with, and who you pray for. Pray together and for each other. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability isn't about control. It's about covering. Ooh, I like that. Let someone you trust and want to be like speak into every aspect of your relationship.
We talked about that, yeah.
That was good. Being equally yoked and both running towards Jesus is vital and non-negotiable. Understand that your identity is fully in Christ and not in a relationship.
Yeah.
Be the type of person that you want to attract. We put on here, AKA, you can't be ratchet and expect to attract a person of God.
That's awesome.
Not true. Just kidding. Let me keep on going here. The same spiritual muscle that keeps you from having sex before marriage keeps you staying faithful when you're married. Boundaries are healthy.
It's good.
These are good things. Comparison is the thief of joy. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus no matter what season you're in. You will never win in a comparison game. We know that.
Yep.
And lastly, ask someone out or say yes to the date. A coffee is not that serious and could be the start of something special. Well, I like that last one.
As we end the plane too, I would say this. Once you start dating, and you know, we'll have more conversations about this subject because there's so much ground to cover.
Oh my goodness.
So much ground. I say this too. I think it's important once you start dating to not make that person Jesus or your idol or your altar.
Mm-hmm.
I think keep Jesus, Lord over your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we're in love with Jesus. We're so passionate. We're so on fire for God. We're like, God, where you go, I'll go. I'll do what you want me to say. I'm worshiping. I'm reading my Bible. I know who I'm in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet this person that makes you like that song from back in the day, weak in the knees. And you forget who you are. And then you start putting the weight that's supposed to go on Jesus on that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is not designed to be the thing that defines you.
Mm-hmm.
Say that. That person is not designed to be the thing that defines you.
Yeah, it's so
good. Keep your focus on Jesus because he's the only thing that can sustain you, not a relationship or a person.
Don't disappear either.
Or even a last
like
name.
You're all in church and
you guys are
serving.
Like met serving together. You met at church and then all of a sudden we don't see you anymore.
It's like,
it's not usually healthy. It doesn't usually end well.
We've been doing this for a minute.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually end well.
But I can tell you this, ending with some good news. We have seen so many people meet, fall in love, apply the things that we're talking about on this podcast, and we'll bring some of them on sometime.
That'd be
and
fun.
They had healthy marriages.
Healthy, yep.
They had
not
great
perfect,
not perfect,
but healthy.
And they had great dating relationships, and they are having the time of their life.
Yep.
Dating can be a blast, so much fun. You can do it
so
the right
joy.
Way, surrounded with life-giving other people cheering you on, and then that can lead into a super healthy marriage.
Learning how to navigate going from single to dating. Now we're dating, but we had all these single friends. We had separate friends, but now we have together friends. I mean, there's all these dynamics that we can get into. And I want to give a shout out to Alexis because I asked her, hey, what podcast about what? She goes, man, dating. I think, and she's married to Chris, But she was like, man, I just feel like this is something that could really help a lot of people.
I think,
so she gave me this idea.
Like,
so Alexis,
we love you, Alexis.
We appreciate you. And we appreciate just everybody who is listening right now. Shoreline City family.
We
and
love you.
Those that are beyond, we just are so, so thankful for you, cheering you on, praying for God's best in every area of your life.
We believe in you. We believe in
more than you know.
Today can be your fresh start
day. Turn it around. Come on.
That you decide to honor God in your relationships. You have the mind of Christ. You can do this. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. We out. Bye.
Bye.